And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Kentucky bars open again, even as other states reassess their earlier decisions and shutter nightlife again as COVID-19 cases spike. And meanwhile, the Commonwealth is also dealing with delays and responding to people's questions and concerns about unemployment payments. So the state is taking action. I spoke earlier this morning with Governor Andy Beshear about these issues and others. Governor Beshear, thank you for being with us.
No, thanks for having me on, Michael.
It's our pleasure to have you. I know you're busy, so we won't keep you too long, but I'd actually like to start this conversation about face masks. I know that you start your daily briefings when we see you on TV or on social media. You've got your mask on. I stopped at a gas station this morning. There were probably about 20 people milling about, either getting gas or running in the convenience store. And I counted, including myself, only three of us out of about the 20 had face masks on. I know that's anecdotal, but it does seem like we're seeing a decrease in the diligence as it relates to wearing these face coverings. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about the efficacy of face masks and whether Kentuckians should be more diligent about wearing them.
Kentuckians do need to be more diligent about wearing masks. It's been scientifically proven that wearing a mask is one of the most effective ways to prevent the spread of this virus. Now, people want things to be open. People want to get back to as much of their old normal life as they can. And it's pretty simple. It's about hands, face, and space. If you wash your hands and do it often, if you wear a mask and try not to touch your face, and you stay 6 feet apart from other people, there is so much that you can do. And while it seems like we've been dealing with COVID-19 for a long time, these are really small sacrifices to make to protect the health and the well-being of so many people. And I worry that many people out there that aren't wearing masks know or think that, you know, it can't harm them. And we lost a 30-year-old just 2 days ago. It can. But what people are, I think, choosing sometimes not to think about is that those that are at high risk, you know, don't just get this by happenstance. They get it because somebody isn't practicing, you know, these rules, these regulations, and following this guidance. Me, I wear a mask because I believe that I need to put the life and health of other people ahead of my own comfort. It's a small sacrifice, and it's a small step to take that I do because of my faith and how I care about other people. So everybody out there, wear a mask. We don't want to go the way of Florida, of California, of Texas, where their cases are going through the roof. I mean, Arizona has almost 10 times the number of cases we have and only 1.5 times the number of people. Right now, we're in a plateau. We're in a pretty good place compared to them. Let's stay there, and we do that by wearing a mask.
Governor, I want to draw your attention to a couple of studies that are recent and related to face masks. According to the New York Daily News, a study conducted by researchers at Florida Atlantic University found that the best type of non-medical face mask to protect against coronavirus is a simple stitched mask made from two layers of quilting fabric. And that's what a lot of us in the general public have immediate access to. I also want to note that Goldman Sachs says that a national mask mandate could save the U.S. economy $1 trillion. So we know of the efficacy based on science of face masks in quelling the spread of coronavirus and allowing us to get back to as much as normal as possible until there's a vaccine. Why not a mandate, Governor?
Well, I think you just pointed out that inexpensive masks do the trick, protect other people, and what's at risk is our economy and the reopening. Now, right now, we are at a place where we are stable, though we are watching the number of cases. If we start seeing an escalation, that's something that we'll consider. But, you know, our rules are only as good as people's willingness to follow them. And so right now what we really need is encouragement. Encouragement to do the right thing, to protect your neighbor, to protect our seniors out there, to protect those that have pre-existing conditions. You know, I've got a friend named David who is an 11-year-old that has a very difficult form of brain cancer. David is one of those people out there that is very susceptible to COVID. And you think about a child whose days might already sadly be limited, wanting to make the most of every one. They actually sent me a face mask saying, make today the best day ever. David is the exact type of individual that we ought to be willing to wear these masks for, knowing how precious life is, and that maybe more than any other time in our lives, we are so connected to other people and our choices matter so much.
Governor, you said that Kentucky is currently at a plateau. You announced on Tuesday that there were 282 newly confirmed COVID-19 cases across the Commonwealth. That number is pretty similar to what we've been seeing in recent announcements from you. You talk about whether we might see an escalation as it would relate to requiring masks in public. What would an escalation look like as it relates to the numbers that you would be announcing when you start to consider whether we need to make face masks mandatory?
So the way that we are currently evaluating where we are in our fight against the coronavirus is a couple of important metrics. First is the number of cases, and it, in large part, it's the increase, if there is an increase in the number of cases, and then how quickly the number of cases can escalate. If you look at Florida, Texas, et cetera, it's not just that they have a huge number of cases, and they do. It's how quickly it's escalating day over day. The second is certainly our death rate. And I will say that we've been blessed in Kentucky. While we have lost far too many people for a state that has so many chronic health conditions and the number of individuals that have heart, lung, and kidney disease, we've lost very few compared to other states. I believe that's because of the expansion of Medicaid and health care. We look at our bed capacity. When somebody gets sick, do we have enough hospital beds? And right now we have almost 50% available. We look at our ICU capacity. We have at least 30% of those available. And we look at our number of ventilators where we have, I think, 70 to 75% available. So those are all numbers that we look at every day. And I can tell people that I am guided by the science, by public health. Obviously, we have to consider economics when we're looking at it too, but we're acting very carefully, and should we see an escalation, we will look at other steps. But I'll say this to those that have pushed to reopen our economy, that want to be able to go to work, that want to be able to get together with folks, wear a mask. It's the best way to make sure that we don't go the way of other states and have to pull back on things.
We're talking with Governor Andy Beshear, Democrat of Kentucky. Governor, bars reopened this week in the Commonwealth. And again, I share some anecdotal observations in downtown Covington, where I live and walk around. I'm just not seeing the face coverings, while I am seeing large gatherings of crowds head back into the increased capacity available at restaurants or start to enjoy the offerings at local taverns. I've hosted you in Covington for podcast conversations. You've seen the Renaissance taking place there. There are a lot of attractions. But if folks aren't taking the extra precautions, and we end up in a situation like what we've seen in Texas, Florida, and Arizona, how soon do you expect we would know that we're in that kind of situation?
Well, I believe based on the metrics that we look at, we know within 10 to 14 days if we are starting to see an escalation. But as it goes with bars or restaurants or really anything else, there are a couple of obligations that are out there that should make people want to do this right, for us to prove in Kentucky that we can do this right. The first is that the only way that bars can continue to operate is if we keep our number of COVID cases down. If we have a surge, we have to take steps. So it should be every proprietor, every business owner's job to create the safest environment that they can. One option that I think bars ought to look at right now is to have a seat for every single individual that they're going to allow in. They can set up the seat in the groups that you come in on, but you're basically in your seat unless you're going to the bathroom. It could be an important step that could be taken, because no one wants their facility to be the place where there's an outbreak. You know, if we have to potentially scale things back, it's temporary. But if you get a reputation for being a place that caused this thing to spread, that could result in permanent closings driven by people, not by any policy of the government. But as far as individuals that are going to these places, remember that you can pass this virus without even knowing that you have it, and the way you get it is being too close to people in these situations. And we're just asking you to be a good neighbor, a good Kentuckian, a patriotic American, somebody that cares about other people. And again, if you if this is something you've really missed, let's make sure we do it right. I believe that there is a way to operate bars, to operate amusement parks safely, but we have to prove that we can do it. And if we do, we get to continue to do those things. If we don't, no, it's our fault if we have to scale things back. So personal responsibility is something in this that's absolutely critical to our economy and to the things that people want to do.
Governor, we're roughly 4 months into this. And when you think back to March, as difficult as that is and the way time has moved since this pandemic really started to grip us, I think about the numbers that were announced in those early press conferences, and they were relatively low, although we did expect there would be an increase. They certainly weren't at 282 daily. So I'm wondering what's different about now as we allow ourselves to go back into bars, as we start to prepare for schools reopening in the fall. What's different about now compared to the very low case number that we had back in March when we shut it all down?
The differences are, in the beginning of March, we didn't have testing. We did not have the contact tracers. We did not know treatments. While there is no perfect treatment right now, there are treatments out there that are showing promise. But the other thing that's different is that in March, cases were escalating and escalating at an alarming rate. It was how quickly our number of cases could double and triple. And if that continued, how quickly we would go over our capacity of hospital beds, of ventilators, of ICUs. And that trend was happening. Had we not been healthy at home, had we not taken those steps, we did not have the infrastructure here in Kentucky to handle the surge we would have seen, and we would have ended up in a New York-type situation. Now, we are not seeing cases double every 3 days like we were seeing at one point. We are seeing them relatively stable. We are not just finding the symptomatic cases, which we did in March. We're also finding the asymptomatic cases, which is good. And we are staying at a plateau even though we've opened more things up and there are more contacts. So we're in a very different place, but I want to be clear that that place is a fragile place, that if people don't follow the rules, the regulations, and buy in and say this is our time and we got to do this right, we could go from a stable to an unstable situation really quickly, because as tired as some people may be after 4 months of dealing with this virus, it's still here, and it's not going away until there's a vaccine. So we got to be strong enough, resilient enough. We got to do all of those things that we know stops this virus, and we got to take care of each other. You know, just today, I helped load up the 1 millionth meal that's being delivered from senior centers to our seniors. You think about all of that love and support, all of that positive work that's done. Now, let's not put those same people at risk by us being unwilling to do something small like wear a mask or wash our hands or stay 6 feet away from people.
Governor, I know we're short on time, but I do want to ask about school and unemployment before we let you go. And schools are expecting to reopen in some capacity this fall. I'm seeing a lot of comments on social media when stories are posted about this. Some parents are very scared about sending their kids back into school. And some parents are also very concerned about non-traditional instruction, NTI again, as disruptive as it was in the earlier days of this and at the end of the previous school year. What is your assurance to families in Kentucky that whatever plan is officially in place on that first day of school, that kids are going to be safe?
We put out guidance based on public health input, based on the science that's out there, to try to give a roadmap to get kids back in the classroom, because they need to be in the classroom. It's a better learning experience than NTI. But at the same time, that guidance isn't easy. It's about having to change so many different things that we do in our classrooms. It's about having to innovate to spread kids out. It's about wearing masks. And some parents may have an issue with that, but that's how you protect not just the other kids, but the teachers themselves. And there are some out there that think opening schools would be safe just because kids generally aren't significantly harmed by this virus. But guess what? There's a teacher in every classroom. There are other adults that are around in that building, and they're being exposed to more contacts if we don't do it right than ever before. And we have more grandparents raising their grandkids in Kentucky per capita than just about any other state. So it's really important that our school systems look at the guidance we put out. If it's followed, I think our kids can get back in the classroom. And I believe that they can also serve as a model for maybe some of our adults that are out there. But we can't fight the guidance and try to do less. We've got to make sure that we're doing everything it takes to keep our kids and their educators safe.
And Governor, like many states, Kentucky has struggled to keep up with the overwhelming requests for unemployment assistance because of so many job losses, whether temporary or unfortunately permanent, due to the economic impact of COVID-19. Kentucky's State Senator Damon Thayer of Scott County, who also represents Grant and part of Kenton County in northern Kentucky, was one of a few state lawmakers who published an op-ed that called Kentucky's unemployment response a national embarrassment. I know you offered some news during your news conference on Tuesday about ways you hope to mitigate this. What's the answer?
First, let me say that I take responsibility for needing to fix this, and I hope every senator and representative will take responsibility for starving the system in a way that led us to where we are. So why we are in such a difficult position right now is really starting about 2 years ago, before I became governor. We eliminated almost 30 unemployment offices. We let go of 95 individuals that processed claims or otherwise helped. The budget was slashed in half, and we're operating on a system that was put into place the year I graduated from college, 2000. This is what happens when you starve an important safety net system, and then that time you need it the most hits and hits really fast. We have the largest number of claims we've ever seen in a short period of time, while at the same time having an office that is smaller, with a smaller budget, and with older technology than we have ever had. Now, while that is one of the reasons we are where we are now, my job is to fix it. So we're doing a number of things. Number one, we've increased our workforce internally from about 40 to about 100 people that can process claims. But we've got about 1 million claims. That's not enough. So what we've done is we've contracted with Ernst & Young, and they're going to be providing 200 additional claims processors starting on Monday and another 100 the week after that. We are quadrupling our workforce with a goal of getting through all of March, April, and May claims by the end of this month, of getting caught up. At the same time, we're going to put out an RFP, and we're going to use CARES Act money to update our system, because it was a system designed to tell people no at a time that they need to be told yes. And the system is simply so old and does not work the way that it needs to. We brought in new leadership. Our Labor Cabinet Secretary, one of the top officials in Kentucky, is directly running the office. But I want to be clear in that while I appreciate so much how hard all of our individual employees have worked to do what they've done, it hadn't been good enough. That's not on them. That's on our need to respond and to help people. I believe the contract we announced is going to help us get caught up, but then we have to stay caught up. People out there need help. I get it. I want to help them, and we're going to get it done.
Governor, do you expect that to assist in northern Kentucky, where state representatives, Democrats Rachel Roberts of Newport and Buddy Wheatley of Covington, asked for more assistance because of the unique situation for northern Kentucky employees who live in the Bluegrass but cross the river into Cincinnati to work?
That there are more difficult claims because of that. So because the system was so starved and because so many offices were closed, our challenge isn't just to process claims. It's to open offices that weren't even there at a time when we don't have enough people. So what we are doing right now is we are rotating around the state so that we can have in-person services, and Northern Kentucky is on our schedule, and we're going to be announcing it soon. But as we can staff up, our goal is to open permanent regional offices where people can go and get their claims handled. As we are doing that, though, people in Northern Kentucky can expect to be getting calls and emails as we quadruple our workforce to get their current situation handled now, and then to make sure that we have the in-person services as we move forward to help them face-to-face as well. So we got to get caught up. We've got to get people's claims processed, and then we've got to have a better system moving forward. Again, I accept responsibility for getting this fixed. I hope those that are out there that are criticizing, and that's okay, remain committed to an unemployment system that oftentimes they haven't been, and remain committed to a safety net that for ideological reasons they oftentimes criticized and or defunded. Now shows us how important this is. So let's leave the politics behind and commit to make sure this never happens again.
Democrat Governor Andy Beshear of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Governor, thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
Thank you, Michael. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise. And up next, we discuss the Anderson High School mascot, targeted again for a change. And later, the next generation, Z, on their podcast series, and why they're so pumped for the new Hamilton film. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.